You know the vibes. Welcome back to the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Mutsu, alongside me as always, three-time NBA champion BJ Armstrong and general manager extraordinaire Mr. Scott Perry. Fellas, how you doing? We didn't have an episode yesterday. I thought, you know, the Super Bowl hangover might be hitting a few people, so let's take it nice and easy. But we're back today. Scotty P.
Yes, we are.
I know you're a big NFL guy. NFL's wrapped up, so it's just NBA for the rest of the season. But give us your thoughts real quick on the Super Bowl.
Look, the better team won. Let's just, I'm going to get right to the chase. You know, when you're building teams, and this is what I'm always fascinated about as I look across sports. When you can build that interior line of scrimmage, both the defensive side and the offensive side, like the Eagles have done. They've got a top two, or you know, arguably the number one offensive line in football and arguably the number one defensive line. But at minimum, they're both top three. And when you have that and you can control the line of the scrimmage and you can pressure a Patrick Mahomes, that's one of the worst games I saw Patrick Mahomes play, in large part because he had very little time. They dominated the line of scrimmage, that defensive line of Philadelphia, and they did it with four guys. They're the first team in NFL history to not blitz one down in the Super Bowl game. Think about that. That is awesome. So what that allows you to, when those four are controlling, now you have a lot more people back in coverage against that pass game. So kudos to them. And then on the offensive side, I thought Jalen Hurts does what he does so well, man. The guy is a winner. You know, he may not put up all the gaudy stats that some people want to see from quarterbacks, but he makes the winning plays. And that's what he continued to do in that Super Bowl. So really happy for him. You know, Saquon goes and gets him a Super Bowl ring. Eagles, well-deserved. They were the best team in football this year. And it showed on Sunday in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, blitzing the front line and the screw. I got no idea what Scott's
talking
about. But don't worry, by this time next year, I'll know exactly what you're talking about. Let's run it up.
BJ. Oh yeah, no, hey, I had to get a little technical, Mo. That's the coach in me now.
BJ, ready for your Lions to come back next season?
That's been our focus from the last game. So I can't get distracted. Congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles. And if it's anything for our Lions to take, is we have to win that game within the game, which is in the trenches. You know, all of the running backs and the quarterbacks, they get all the headlines. But on that line is where you win the game. So let's get back to business. Feel the roar.
Well, Lions got to get healthy. Lions got to get back healthy and add some depth on the defensive side.
And then we'll be right there.
That'd be right there.
Yeah. As a casual, very, very casual fan, I found it very boring. Because, you know, if it's not a close game, I'm not really watching.
I get it. Yeah.
Halftime show was kind of boring too. It wasn't really much.
Oh,
no. So maybe the All-Star Weekend will be more entertaining than the Super Bowl this year.
Most watched Super Bowl. I just saw the
It was 126 million. Did I see?
Yeah.
That?
So you know, and Mo, somebody was watching, not the casual fan.
Hey, most watched Super Bowl, but it lost 6% of viewers at halftime. Pretty interesting. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. But anyway, let's talk a bit about the NBA. As we do over here on this show. The Charlotte Hornets are currently in contact with the NBA as they explore options to dispute the Los Angeles Lakers' failed physical assessment of Mark Williams. So if you guys at home didn't know, the Lakers traded Dalton Connect in a pick for Mark Williams of the Charlotte Hornets, but then they canceled the trade, essentially, because they said Mark Williams wasn't healthy enough and they don't want to do the deal anymore. A lot of people out there are saying that the Lakers just got cold feet and wanted to pull the plug on a deal. Because the medical assessment didn't actually show anything with his previous injuries being a red flag. But Scott, let's go into your experience as a general manager in this league. Have you ever been in a situation like this, or have you seen situations like this? Give us a little bit of insight as to how these trades actually work after a deal is agreed.
I have not had a situation exactly like this one. Obviously, when you agree to a trade verbally with the team, one of the things that you do, and you do this on the league call when you're going to finalize the trade, is that you've exchanged medicals, both sides. So all of the players involved in the trade, you have a exchanging of medical history. And now that both teams get the chance to look at prior to agreeing upon a trade. And then most often, a lot of trades aren't finalized. You have, I believe, 72 hours to get that new player in to your building and give him your own physical, your own medical staff put their hands on him to, and the majority of the times that I've been involved with it, and pretty much all the time, guys end up passing those physicals. And there's a rare occasions that you may make deals where you waive the physical, so it expedites the trade being finalized even that much quicker. This is a unique situation because, again, I hate to read in, what you had just said, that the rumor out there is that the Lakers maybe got cold feet. Well, why did they, when I hear that, did they get cold feet because of the player, or did they just get cold feet because of his medical history that they were going to have to deal with moving forward? I don't know, and I don't want to guess on that. And so you hate to see it. Now, this is unique, seeing that Charlotte is trying to kind of open this thing back up. So again, not being privy to the conversations back and forth and what's been agreed upon, or if somebody was trying to get more out of the deal, after the fact,
Because the
those kind of
Hornets then
things.
went and traded for Yusuf Nurkic. So now they've
Yes.
got Nurkic, they've got Musa
Yes.
Diabate, who's been really good and has just been converted to a 3-year standard contract. And now they've got Mark Williams coming back. So they're in a position where now they have too many bigs to compete for the minutes on their roster.
Yeah, no, they're in a tough spot. And the tough thing too that a lot of people aren't talking about, when you've actually put guys on planes and sending them away in a trade and talk to them on the phone, hey, we're trading you to Los Angeles and we're trading you to Charlotte. Now they have to go back to their respective teams. Imagine what those conversations are like. That
Awkward.
player knows that you've moved on from them. You wanted them gone in exchange for this player. So now both sides are having to deal with that fallout or with that dynamic in how they're dealing with those players now to get them reingratiated back to where they were before, get them feeling confident and believing that they're part of the organization moving forward, at least in the short term. So there's a lot of moving parts here that is interesting. And it'll be interesting really to see how Mark Williams, how Dalton Connect in particular, because those are the two major names in this trade, how they perform moving forward and what happens with them.
BJ, from the agent side, how would you be feeling in this situation if you represented Don Connect or Mark Williams?
Well, I've had experience behind the scenes, nothing publicly like this, where you understand the medical procedure and the subjectivity of what a medical staff can say, right? Assuming this is what the real issue is, there could be a lot of issues. However, the thing that I'm most concerned from an agent perspective, really for the, perspective of the parties involved, your medical staff has a responsibility, right? When they do, like Scott alluded to, when you do the physical, you could red flag a lot of different things. I mean, it's not like when you go through a process, to some staffs, some medical staffs may say this could be of a concern, and then you go to another team and they can say no problem at all.
Exactly.
That is the one thing that's not universal that's being talked about here. And we don't know what it really is. But I'm very sensitive to that because I don't like commenting about anyone's medical. When it comes to medical things, that individual has that. That's their responsibility to share that. However, whatever the case may be, it's very unfortunate because now everyone wants to know why. So to protect the young people involved, you know, and I hope Scott doesn't mind me saying this on air. As soon as this happened, I called Scott and I said, Scott, how would you handle this? And I called other people in the business to hear how they're going to handle this. And Scott, being the GM extraordinaire, Scott said, well, there's only one way to handle it. You got to tell these young people the truth. And Scott begins to go, how he would handle the situation. Because for me, this is always a learning experience. I've only seen this happen. I can recall. I remember what happened one time with Sean Elliott with the Detroit Pistons, actually.
That was a long time. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
And then it happened again with Robert Horry, who came back to the Rockets, and then they go on to win a championship that year. So I've only seen this happen a few times. And I happened to be a play. I happened to have been playing at that time, but I was just fascinated to hear Scott's answer and others how they would handle the situation. So
there were a couple other instances. The Donatas Motiejunas trade to the Pistons in 2016. That was
I was involved in that one. I was involved in that one. Yes.
Yeah, and then also Tyson Chandler to the Thunder in 2010, which I think would have been an amazing deal for OKC if they managed to get Tyson. Obviously, Tyson then went on to win a championship with the Mavericks in 2011. But sometimes these deals can impact the course of NBA history, because if Chandler goes to the Thunder in 2010, maybe the Mavs don't win that championship in 2011. And, you know, everything everything goes on. But, you know, the Lakers and the Hornets can only move forward now with the rosters that they've got. Yeah. And BJ, you were at the Crypto Arena yesterday to watch Luka Doncic's debut. What was your thoughts? Because I saw them give all the fans a Luka shirt that were in the crowd.
I know. I should have. I brought my Luka shirt home. I brought my Luka shirt home.
Lakers. Yuck.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you the coolest thing that I did see. All right. First of all, you know, I want to give a shout out to the Lakers for them to do that. It was actually pretty cool. It's like, wow, they just moved very quickly.
They're going to make a good first impression.
Yes. And so a couple of things happened. The Hollywood sign, you know, the Hollywood sign. They turned the L's over in Hollywood.
Was that actually, because I thought edited for the video.
Well, I saw it on the video. I went to the game with my oldest son yesterday, who is a Luka fan. And so we went, and he showed it to me. So I don't know if it was real or not, but I thought it was pretty cool.
It was, because it was a Gatorade commercial. I don't know if they actually changed it or if it was
editing magic. That was really cool. That was really cool. And the most impressive part of the night was, you know, I get to the game early because I wanted to see it for myself. I wanted to see the intros. The game was like, that was something else. I just wanted to see the intros. And ladies and gentlemen, I've never seen this before. Luka Doncic was last in the intro.
Yes. They showed it on television.
Man, it was like one of those things that I had. I just wanted to see for myself. And in the intros last night, Luka was introduced last. And the place went berserk. And it was just like one of those moments. You know, it was like one of those moments that I thought I would never see. And I saw it last night. So.
It's his team now.
Yeah.
That was the stuff that, you know, in doing it that way, that's letting you
and
know.
I don't know how the NBA did this. I saw so many Luka jerseys. L.A. Luka jerseys were 77 last night. I don't know how they did this. I don't even know where you... I guess I'm assuming you buy them online. I guess that's how people do it, you know? But Luka Magic is here.
is in full force in LA. Yeah.
Luka said that LeBron actually texted him and asked him if he wanted to be introduced last in the lineups.
Oh, really?
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that was big on LeBron's part because, like I said, for, what is it, LeBron been in the league 23 years now? 22, 23 years?
Yeah.
It's always been at the end. And from St. Vincent, St. Mary's High School in Akron,
mm-hmm,
Ohio.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But LeBron was wearing the Luka jersey to warm up for the game.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I ain't going to lie, right?
Look, LeBron understands. I'm going to give it. LeBron understands moments like this, I believe, and he's done a really nice job of always kind of being in front of the marketing side of things, if you will, and recognizing what's going on. So I think he sees what it is. So it's definitely good for him to be handling things this way too. It's very professional. It's very ambassador-like, you know, because now that he's, you know, year two or whatever away from retirement, you know, he's got to be thinking about those things too. And, you know, so he's handling it with class. So
I ain't going to lie. The quote he dropped where he said 77 plus 23, that's 100. I thought that was a hard quote. I did think that was a hard quote.
77 plus 23 is 100. Okay. I didn't see that. See, Mo, you informed me.
My son kept me up on all the quotes. So now I got that quote last night. You know, I'm at the game and my son told me the same thing. So, you know, shout out to Oscar.
Yeah, Oscar.
Pointing that out to me. So, you know, the big O pointed that out to me yesterday. So I was like, oh, okay. I'm just watching the game. I'm watching the offense and the defensive schemes. So mm-hmm. I heard that last night. And but actually, the Lakers look good. I got
the Lakers are 9-1 in the last 10. They've been looking good for a little while.
Yeah, now. They've been playing well. No, they were playing well.
I have to give them credit. I like what I saw. I really did.
Yeah, in the last 10 games, the Lakers have the best record in the league over the last 10 games. They're fifth in offensive rating, first in defensive rating, second in net rating, first in effective field goal percentage, and first in BJ's favorite stat, true shooting percentage. So fair play to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. But another team that's been flying under the radar a little bit now, the Denver Nuggets. They've won 7 straight. They've crept up to third in the Western Conference. Nikola Jokic hit one of the most ridiculous shots. You know, there's a meme. There's a meme of Nikola Jokic where it's like you can play 23.9 seconds of amazing defense and this guy will still just fling the ball from behind his head and score a three at the buzzer. And that's exactly what happened with DeAndre Ayton, no less, guarding him right up in his grill. The Denver Nuggets have been balling over there in the Western Conference. I know during the kind of trade season, a lot of these teams who play some good basketball kind of go under the radar a little bit because they're not the story dominating the headlines. The Trailblazers had a really good stretch. They've lost their last two,
but they're 7-3 in the last 10.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we're gonna have to stay locked in to the Western Conference because it's getting real interesting. It's real close. Couple wins here, couple losses there can really make the difference. Another piece of news is that Kyrie Irving has replaced Anthony Davis in the 2025 All-Star game. Shout out to Kyrie Irving. A little bit of good news for the Mavs fans. It's been a tough time for them recently. Anthony Davis had a great debut for Dallas Mavericks, right? He was going for a triple-double in the first quarter. He looked fantastic. I love that the first action of the game, they ran a post-up for Anthony Davis. And when the double came, he threw the lob over the top to Gafford. And he finally gets to play alongside a center after asking the Lakers for the past 5 years to make that happen. He had a great game. He, not surprisingly, got injured, and now he's going to be out for a couple weeks. But if he requires surgery, he could be out for even longer. I think Gafford and Lively and Dwight Powell have all also got injuries. So the Mavs going from a super tall defensive team are now kind of depleted, which is very tough for them, especially given that they're sitting in the eighth spot in the Western Conference right now. But what did you guys think of the Anthony Davis Dallas Mavericks?
Well, I thought we got a chance to see a glimpse of what this team could be now with the change. You know, like you said, Davis was terrific in that first half. And you can tell, and you just alluded to it, Mo, how happy he is to be playing alongside another big where he can play what, you know, he's always saw himself as a power forward and in the four position. I think you saw some excellent signs defensively what this group can be. They have some depth. I tell you, one guy that's not talked about a lot in this trade, his name was kind of thrown in, but has been playing terrific for him, is Max Christie. He was a great find for them. So now you understand why they were able to move on from Quentin Grimes, who was playing very well himself. And then even though part of that reasoning, I'm sure, had to do with an impending contract. But however, this guy, Max Christie, man, looks to me like he is going to be a guy who can help an organization and team win. He was trending very well with the Lakers. You talked about the Lakers being 9-1 in the last 10 games. He was a big part of that. So now he gets on a moving train in Dallas and is playing extremely well. The main concern that I will have for the Mavericks moving forward, aside from the health of Anthony Davis, because that's number one in paramount, is the Kyrie Irving situation and how much they're going to have to utilize him. Like last night I saw against the Sacramento Kings, and I know the game went overtime, but he had to play 44 minutes. Mm. He is the primary ball handler, the guy who's got to break the defense down. And how much wear and tear are they going to have to put on Kyrie as they move throughout the rest of the regular season and get into playoff basketball? That's the one thing that I'll be watching. He's got to hold up physically because he's a tremendous talent, great player. And I think he's at the right place mentally right now in his career. He understands what happened with this trade. He understands now he's got to take on even more leadership responsibility. So that I'm going to be watching that very closely. Who can help spell him? Spencer Dinwiddie is starting to play a little bit better for this team as well, too. But somebody's going to have to take some minutes off of Kyrie, especially in the regular season right now, to help preserve him and have him healthy and really ready to go if they want to make any kind of conference finals or championship run.
BJ, how are you looking at the Mavericks' chances?
I like the Mavericks team. And as I speak to players that are currently in the league, as I speak to executives quietly, especially after the first, you know, game that you saw AD play, you could see that this team could be a problem. And I was reminded last night as I was watching the Lakers game, because I was watching the Lakers to kind of see how this was going to fit in with the Lakers. I was like, you know, sometimes you'll see a trade that has the potential to be a win-win for both teams. I think it's going to take some time to get over what happened with Luka. But when I saw the team live, the Lakers, I thought, this is probably good for Luka. And this could be really good for Dallas. And the reason I say that is because when we were at the game last night, my son and I, and you know how they do. Well, Scott, being in New York, you'd always flash into the crowd who's at the game.
Everyone was there.
Everyone was at the game last night. But there was one that kind of even got me to look up. It was Dirk Nowitzki.
Oh, really?
Dirk was at the game.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I thought, how cool is that? That mm-hmm. someone who is from Dallas, arguably the best player to play in Dallas, was at the game. I believe he works for the Mavericks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was at the game, sitting there with Luka's family. And I thought, whatever was going on there, something went on, because we don't know. But whatever happened, I think everyone's moved on. I think you just need time to kind of...
Let me ask you this. At the Mavs game last night, when they showed a crowd on the Jumbotron, one of the crowd members was mouthing the words, "Fire Nico," and he got it removed from the arena. But after the game, Jason Kidd did not do a post-game interview. Mm-hmm. And I've not seen that happen. I don't think I've ever seen a coach refuse to do a post-game interview in the NBA. What did you guys think about that?
again, not being there, but just like all of us here, examining from the outside, emotions are still running very hot and high in the Dallas area about this trade. And like anything else, I believe it's just going to take a little bit of time for that to wear off. And so I did read that Jason didn't do the press conference at the end of the game. I'm sure he has his reasons. I don't know whether that's in regard, he didn't do it because of all of the emotions that were going on in the arena and the ejections of some of the fans, and he wasn't going to address that. Or was he just really angry with the way they lost the game? Because they lost a very tough game in overtime at home to a Sacramento game. So I don't know what was behind that decision. But again, it's obviously we're seeing it, and it's unfortunate. Again, like, on the one hand, you love your fan base to be extremely passionate about the team, and I get it. Everybody loved Luka Doncic there in the Dallas area and community, and he was their star, all of those things. And so I get the temporary being passionate and upset and all those things. But things are becoming really personal there right now, and just in what I'm reading and reading about, you know, racist attacks and threats towards Nico Harrison and that kind of thing, and things being said at ownership and that are very personal and nasty. And you hate to see that. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a sports competition. It is entertainment. For it to get to that level, you don't want it to, you know, you never want to see that. And so I'm just hoping that cooler heads will prevail. And look, if you're a fan and you're that upset about the team, you don't have to go. You don't have to pay and watch that team play anymore. I think most of them will, if you're a true Dallas Mavericks fan, you're going to support your organization through thick and thin. Eventually, you will get out of those feelings and get back to rallying around your team. That is my hope in that situation.
I saw a post where it said 2,000 season ticket holders have got refunds for the rest of the season because after the Luka trade, they canceled their season ticket. You know, it's kind of sad for the Mavs fans, I guess, because you're used to Dirk Nowitzki, who was there for his entire career, and Luka Doncic, he was obviously really close with Dirk, and you would assume that he would be the, you know, carrying the torch after Dirk Nowitzki goes. Mm-hmm. But then now you've got Dirk courtside in LA, Luka in a Lakers jersey, which still looks really weird to me. The winner of all of this trade, though, by the way, is Jackson Hayes, whose life has just improved 100 times over by playing with Luka Doncic and the Mark Williams trade falling through, because now he's going to have the chance to play the best basketball of his life. But over in the Eastern Conference, Giannis Antetokounmpo picked up an injury where he's going to be out for a few weeks and he's going to miss All-Star weekend. And Trae Young is going to replace him in the All-Star game. Trae Young was the leading player in voting from coaches who select the reserves. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about them going with Trae Young rather than LaMelo Ball, who led the fan vote?
I don't have an issue with it at all, again, because we talk about this, and not that, you know, the Hawks are just two games under 500. And for a lot of the early part of the year, they've been playing above 500 basketball. So Trae Young has been an important reason why this team has remained relevant. And they've had some big wins, both at home and on the road this season. And look, I get LaMelo Ball's numbers, but he's missed a lot of games. And his team is next to last in the Eastern Conference. So I have no problem with not rewarding that. It has nothing to do with the young man's talent. It's just we're talking about, we're not giving away participation trophies. You got to accomplish something. And accomplishment in this league begins and ends, in my view, on wins and losses. Mm. So that's why Trae Young, and he has the numbers to boot as well, too, but he's on a team that's been in and around 500 the entire season.
Well, without Giannis, who's out injured now, the Bucks took a loss to the Golden State Warriors last night. Jimmy Butler had a good performance. He had 20 points. Steph Curry put up 38. it's interesting kind of how they're running that team now. I saw a few things that caught my eye. They're using Jimmy Butler in a few of the actions where they would previously use Draymond in kind of passing out a short role, being some more of a playmaker, and Draymond slotting into that five position more. BJ, what do you think about the Warriors from what you've seen so far?
Well, you know, I'm going to give it a little time. You know, it takes time to figure out how to defend this team. It's always, you know, interesting when teams make trades. You know, you got to change up how you're going to defend them. What's their strong point? Now, you just mentioned Draymond started at the five. Is that going to be consistent? Is this their best group? How's Kuminga going to come back when he comes back and play? So, but, you know, I think in the short term, you know, Jimmy is a really good player. I think it's going to help Steph a little bit. You could see he's playing. So we'll see. You know, give it about 10, 15 games before we finally figure out what this team is going to look like, how they're going to play, what's their philosophy, what are they really trying to accomplish as a team. So, you know, it's early, but I you know, when you acquire a good player like Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry, as long as they're healthy, they're going to be able to do some things on the court. And you know, we'll give it time before you actually begin putting together game plans, or you can see what teams will try to do when they play against a Warriors team now that Jimmy Butler is inserted into the lineup.
You know, one other thing I would add with Jimmy is adding, at least early on, and I think will continue throughout the season, he gives a guy gives you a guy that gets downhill a little bit and can get to the free throw line because he's physical at attacking the rim. I believe last night he got 15 free throws. That he took in earlier games, he took close to double figures as well the game prior. So that is something that BJ understands this, Mo, you understand this as well too. Nights when those jump shots aren't falling, you got to figure out a way how to manufacture points. And getting to the free throw line is one way to do that and get the game back on your terms, so to speak. So Jimmy's going to provide that ability as well for that Warriors team.
You know, just to end this here, I want to go back, as we do, to the Dallas Mavericks. And I saw a quote from Patrick Dumont. I think he's the governor of the team right now. And he was talking about the all-time greats. And if you don't fit into this category of all-time greats, then you don't belong with the Mavericks, right? And he listed like Jordan, he listed Kobe. But he's talking about work ethic. And then he lists Shaq and Larry Bird. And like, they're great players. But you can't tell me Larry Bird wasn't having a beer after the game. Well, Shaq wasn't in condition in the offseason.
Mo, you don't want to go down that path with Larry Bird.
Bird, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying.
Mo, Larry Legend had a work ethic, Mo, that was
You know, Larry Bird worked down his game because there was no way Larry Bird could have
I'm not
dominated like
saying
he
he
did.
wasn't working on his game. I'm saying he was still having a good time and enjoying himself after the games. The same way Luka Doncic, like Luka Doncic doesn't get this good without having a work ethic.
But the different, but I think when you're talking about Bird, there was never a question about Bird coming to camp necessarily, you know, in shape. There's never was a question about how many hours he was spending in the gym before and after. And if, you know, Bird coming off a year that he lost in the finals, Bird was coming back with a vengeance to training camp that next year. So I think that's a little different. You know, I think Shaq is the one I
Yeah,
thought you probably were going
but
more
the thing
towards
with
because of
the
things
Larry
Shaq
Bird,
himself used to say, huh?
yeah, but the thing with Larry Bird is it's the clip of Luka Doncic after winning the Western Conference Finals, having a beer with his dad, and Michael Finley, the assistant GM, comes and takes the beer out of his hand.
Yeah,
Whereas
yeah.
Larry Bird has the interview where he says, "I like to drink beer and I like to go out and have a good time." That's
Well, yeah,
where the
look.
comparison is there.
Okay, yeah. Well, I know I get. Look, the beer part. There's a lot of guys that drink beer that are in tremendous shape. And so I grant you. I mean, I know that, and BJ knows this probably. You know, even before he got in the NBA, there were teams, and you know, guys that I knew that played that there would be, you know, beer in the locker room after game. Now that's the
Back in the day, they were
it's the
smoking
break the
cigarettes in the locker
cigarette.
room at
So. So,
halftime.
you know, we've gone away from that now, and for the most part in the NBA, I don't, you know, the teams that I was involved with didn't have, you know, like beer ready for the players after the game. in the locker room. But you know, I can't speak for all teams what they're doing today. But I just know when you're talking back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, and maybe even the 80s, that was far, far more commonplace, you know. So, but again, it's I know he's been taking a lot of heat, the owner there in Dallas for that quote, but more people have taken issue with him putting Shaq in that than Larry Bird, and that's just because of what Shaq himself had said before, you know, I guess dating back in some history, but there was no questioning. See, the only difference, and I think probably what he's thinking, again, I can't, you know, speak for the guy, but Shaq, what, has 4 championship rings? Yeah. And so, you know, putting Shaq in that, and so, you know, Shaq is a historically great player, and he was a dominant player, and he did whatever it was necessary to get over the top and become a champion. So I think a lot of this can die away for Luka and go away from for Luka when he becomes a champion, if and when he becomes a champion. That's just going to be the key for him. If Luka Doncic, even if he continues doing exactly what he was doing in Dallas, and I don't know exactly what he was doing in Dallas in terms of working, so let me be clear on that. You know, it's all what we read and heard. But if he becomes a champion, then the narrative becomes, well, he's gotten over, he's learned, he's done enough, he understands getting into better condition, whatever the narrative you want it to be, but it'll be much more positive than what we've heard here recently because of this trade. So that's going to be always there until he's hoisting that trophy, that championship trophy at the end of the season. So that's my 2 cents on it.
That, and Luka's been a winner wherever he's been, you know, before he came to the NBA. That's what he does. I don't doubt that he's going to win a championship one day. I just hope he's not wearing that disgusting yellow jersey when he does it.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, more than likely it's going to have to be with that yellow jersey, I would think. And there's no way to, and again, I don't know Luka Doncic, but boy, the Lakers.
They recorded a lot of this. BJ, were you there in the arena when he was doing his warm-ups and they were playing the Serbian music for him? Because that's what he likes to warm up to.
The whole thing is just fascinating and interesting to watch, right? I don't know if they're accommodating their whatever. What I know is the following. It's good for business.
Yeah. He met Jeannie Buss and she said to him, you're going to have your own place in Lakers history. That was the first thing she said to him.
Yeah. Both of you guys know. I think the audience knows. I'm not into all this nonsense. Like, I'm not into the distraction. I got to the game. I wanted to see the game. The only thing I really wanted to see was the intros, and then I wanted to see the game. All this other stuff, da-da-da, whatever. Okay, good. If that's the sideshow. When the lights got bright, the young man, this young man, Luka Doncic, he didn't run from the occasion, okay? He didn't run from it. He embraced it. Now, here's what we know. So we can stop all of the whatever happened, happened. Nobody can go back in the past and fix whatever happened. Whatever happened. And the only people that know is Luka and the team. So that's why I don't care what happened, right? I treat this like I treated playing professionally. I just moved on to the next play. Scott has known me practically my entire life. I got a short memory when it comes to shooting a shot. Okay. So whatever happened yesterday happened. But what I do know, if Luka is going to be whoever we all think he's going to be, he's going to have to be in elite shape. That goes for every player. And not just Luka. That goes for every player. If you want to be the best version of yourself, you can't be in good shape. You can't be in top shape. You have to be in elite shape. If Luka gets to that point in his career, no one, that young man yesterday, Scotty, he made some passes yesterday that was just like, you're like, man, this dude is pretty good. And you know what the test he passed yesterday? he can play with other good players. Him and LeBron yesterday, they were playing together. You could see that they got something going. Okay? The way they were sharing the ball, they shared the responsibility. They're figuring out how to play with one another. And let me assure everyone here, Luka's not running from them bright lights in LA. No. Some people run from the bright lights. Mm-hmm. He's not running from the bright lights.
I would agree with that.
And he's running to the bright lights.
He's a big time player.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now,
Now,
let's see. I want to see the following. Great first game, a lot of positives, but let me see the habits now. Mm-hmm. Let me see the habits, because the habits are going to dictate what we're going to say here. I want to see the habits. Defensively, I saw the effort, passing, spacing, making all the right plays. Everyone said the right thing. The music was right. The fans were right. The stars were there. The only one that wasn't there was Mo. Mo was the only person that I knew that wasn't there last night. Mm-hmm. Okay. But with all of this, whatever is going to occur because of this move, everyone's going to have to be at their very best. And with that, there's nothing else to discuss. I mean, he is a great, great offensive player. Mm-hmm. He's a great offensive player. And you could see it. I mean, he made some passes last night that were just like, okay.
It's Luka magic.
Okay. Yeah. You could see that. You could see that. And here's what was fascinating. You know who guarded the other team's point guard last night? LeBron James.
Yeah, I saw LeBron. Yeah, LeBron.
See, I'm looking at the game. Yeah, everyone's LeBron talking about all the other stuff. I'm looking at the game now. Mm-hmm. So let me see what's going on. Give me about 10, 15 games before I can figure it out. Because you can't hide. LeBron James is not going to be guarding De'Aaron Fox and all of these guys. Ja Morant. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let me see what's going on. Right now, it was the first game. You don't really, how do you game plan? No one's ever seen Luka and LeBron play together until last night, right? Mm-hmm. So let's figure all of this out. But I liked what I saw. I mean, I like some things. Right. I liked Austin Reeves. I like, Rui. Rui fit in.
Jordan Goodwin had 17 off the bench.
Yeah. I mean, they did a really nice job on the defensive end. They were talking. But more importantly, they were sharing the ball with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I said to Mo earlier, BJ, I said, when a trade is made and then you watch their first game or two, whether the new guy plays great or poorly, I don't read much into it. I need time. I need a few weeks to see them come together, learn one another, before you can really start to make a real assessment about, okay, this looks like it's going to really work. Or this looks like they need a little more, need a little less, whatever the case may be. Because, emotions are high right now when pageantry, that probably was the first time, maybe, I don't know, that Dallas ever had 77 jerseys in every seat back in the arena. I mean, that had to be, even for him, that had to be an awesome feeling and add a little extra nerves to a guy who usually doesn't give in much to nerves, but he's coming to an iconic franchise. Everybody's wearing your jersey, including LeBron James, the face of the NBA. I mean, that had to be an emotional time for him. So let's let them get a number of practices in, let all the reporters get all of the questions about what it's like and this trade, and let all emotions get away. A few weeks from now, we will see. To BJ's point, there were some things that looked good and encouraging day one, game one. But let's let this cycle of the season go, and then we will really be able to start to, in my opinion, pinpoint where this team is, just how deep they can go, both sides, both the Lakers and the Mavericks.
Well, we're going to be right here seeing how this trade pans out and how the rest of the NBA season pans out. So subscribe to the Hoop Genius podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. Scott and BJ, I appreciate you both for the insights as always. No more NFL. So I don't know how we're going to start these episodes off now for the rest of the season. We might just have to get straight to the basketball. How about that?
Yeah, that's a good thing.
But yeah, appreciate you guys. And until next time, you know what it is, get buckets.